standing this morning for the reading of the Word of God. I appreciate the singing. I appreciate you being here and appreciate the privilege this morning to preach the Word of God to us and trust that it will be a blessing to your heart and life. I hope it will anyhow. And I started to prepare this message and it got bigger than one service. And so I've got 5 points to it. You're going to hear the first 2 points this morning. And Lord willing, we'll conclude the next 3 points when I get back from our trip that we're going to be taking. And unfortunately, the first 2 points are kind of the difficult ones. They're the ones that's a little hard to swallow. And the next two will be the sweet ones. And but I'll try my best. I mean it. I'll do my best to put in a little sweetener this morning if I can. And try to help out the best way I know how. All right. I want to turn your Bible to the book of Mark. Mark's Gospel and chapter number 14. Mark's Gospel and chapter number 14. I'm getting the wave. And the wave means that I need to put this on. Mark's Gospel and chapter number 14 in your Bibles this morning, if you would please. And I want to begin reading in verse number 66. The Bible said, and Peter was beneath in the palace. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, and thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But Peter denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again, and began to say unto him that stood by them, this is one of them. And he denied it again, a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom you speak. And the second time the cock crew. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. And in the writing of St. Luke, Luke said that when he thought thereon, or when he saw Jesus turned and looked, that Peter went out and wept bitterly. And so let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being here and the songs that we've enjoyed today. Thank you for the people of God. Thank you for church and the privilege, Lord, to worship God. It's my desire that you'd meet with us now, Lord, as we preach the gospel, as we do our best to preach under the anointing power of the Spirit of God. I pray the Holy Ghost would lay hold upon our hearts. And, Lord, the Spirit of God would fill my heart full of grace and great glory. I pray that you'd give me the power and the unction, Lord, that I need. And may you work, Lord, in a wonderful way in the hearts of your people today, to bring about revival. Oh, how we need revival, Lord. Will thou not, Lord, truly revive us again that we might rejoice in what God has done for us when you lifted us from sin and birthed us into the family of God. I pray for liberty, Lord, now in the house of God, that sinners come to Christ and be saved, Lord, in your name that would be magnified, lifted up, extolled, worshiped, and praised. And we'll thank you for doing it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Thank you now, and you may be seated. I want to read as our text verse this morning, verse number 72, where the Bible says there, and the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. Now, I've been preaching to you on several occasions on the experiences of the Apostle Peter. Amen. And how those experiences made lasting impressions upon his life. Amen. And I know that I've already preached through this verse or used this text maybe in one of the other Gospels already. But I want to take verse number 72, if God would help me this morning, and preach for a little while on Peter's recovery from the fall. Amen. Peter's recovery from the fall. Yes, somebody said, Brother Hall, can a Christian fall and recover himself from that fall? Can we make a serious mistake, or can we commit a serious sin against God and recover from that sin? I'll tell you, I don't know much of a greater sin than denying the Lord. And especially denying Him not one time, nor two times, but on three different occasions, the Apostle Peter, who God said is a rock. Amen. Thou shalt be called Cephas, being interpreted a stone. Right. And here is a man that is a rock that God set, I believe, as an example to those other apostles. And yet he committed such an atrocity as to deny the Lord three times. Now, I want to say this about Peter. He's been criticized a great deal by preachers as they preach through the Gospels. But I've been looking at his life, I've studied his character, and I want to say this in all honesty. If there's an apostle that would be any greater in character and being used of the Lord than Peter, it would have to be the Apostle Paul. We criticize Peter for being impulsive in his speech and for always sticking his foot in his mouth and saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. And we talk about him getting out of the boat and he shouldn't have got out. Some said he shouldn't have got out, and others said he should have. And we talk about him denying the Lord and this and that. But I've learned through the studying of this man that as far as I'm concerned, in the four Gospels, he is the greatest of all the apostles. And that includes John, who laid his head upon the bosom of the Lord at the Last Supper and is the disciple that the Bible said that Jesus loved. But I cannot get away from the fact that on the day of Pentecost, it was that man that stuck his foot in his mouth. It was that man that made great mistakes in his ministry. It was that man that three times denied the Lord just a few days prior to that Christ called upon to stand on that day and preach the gospel and see 3,000 souls come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am not glorifying sin. Don't you think you'll ever get by with your sin? I'll tell you, Peter didn't get by with his denial. I don't have time to go into it, but three times in John 21, the Lord said, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? And I'll tell you, three times he denied the Lord, and three times God rebuked him for his denial of him. And I'll tell you, Peter didn't get by with his sin. God corrected him of his sin, and God will correct you and I for our sins also. Can a man fall and recover? I'll tell you what the Bible said in the book of Proverbs 24 and verse 16. The Bible said, therefore, a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. And I'll tell you, surely this verse is true in the life of the Apostle Peter. If it's true in the life of anybody, it has to be true in him. More times than once, Peter spiritually committed sin against God. And yet, every time he seemed to recover from it. Oh, I'm telling you, we have a gracious God this morning. I don't know what kind of trouble you're in this morning. I don't know where you're at in sin. I don't know exactly where you're at. I do not know your hearts, but I do know a God, ladies and gentlemen, that knows your heart and knows exactly where you are today and where you're living for Him. And God is able by grace, as He lifted you out of the quagmires of sin and saved you by His grace, regenerated you by His power, God is able also. also to recover you from the snare that you may have found yourself in this morning. And I'll tell you, the devil is crafty at setting snares, and the devil is crafty at digging pits. And brother, I'll tell you, but God, ladies and gentlemen, knows wherever snare is located, wherever pit is dug, and God is able to deliver us from the snare of the fowler and recover us and fill us full of grace and glory and the power of God, and able to bless us again in the house of God. Amen. I'll tell you, we need revival this morning at Island Ford Baptist Church for you to realize you've got a God that has a heart bigger than you are, that loves you, ladies and gentlemen, and He's full of grace and full of glory, and He's able to love you with joy unspeakable and full of glory in your life. Hallelujah. I think somebody ought to help her out. Say amen right there. Glory to God. Amen. What a God we have. Amen. Woo! I'll help you out a little bit. Amen to God. What a God we have today. Amen. Amen. That's right. Amen. What a God. Oh, Peter surely had to be that man. Peter, I think in our recent studies of this great apostle, we've seen what appears to be fatal mistakes. But each time grace has elevated him, and once again he has overcome the error, and he walks on in victory with God. Woo! I may not even get to my message, but I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that every time Peter fell, he recovered from the fall, and didn't just recover. God restored him and caused him to walk once again in great victory. Now, I'm telling you, we are more than conquerors through Christ that loved us, and we're able to triumph over all things through the power of God. Oh yes, and we're able to live a godly and a holy life. And you may find yourself in a hole today, but God can have you on the mountaintop before the sun sets. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Anybody listening? I can't understand y'all not helping her out a while ago. God, y'all just bless God ought to drown the whole crowd. How many glasses of water I got up here? 2.5. Who's got the less crowd in it? I'll put a full one on each side and a half of one on the less of you. Amen. That's right. God elevated him every time. Now, get a hold of this. Peter's denial of the Lord was his final and most grievous sin prior to the Lord's death. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine how he felt in his heart? Come on now. Can you imagine? Somebody said, you don't know how I feel. I want you to try to get a hold of how Peter felt. Here is a man that was a great man of God, and yet 3 times he denied the Lord, and it was his final sin before the Lord was to go to the cross and there shed his blood and lay down his life. I wonder how Peter felt, realizing this may be the last time he ever saw the Lord in a fleshly body upon this earth. I want to ask you a question, ladies and gentlemen. If you knew for a fact you were going to die tonight and meet the Lord, amen, what would be your final act upon this earth for the Lord? What would be your, what final act have you done for God? What have you done for God today? Peter's final act. For the Lord, prior to the Lord's death, was that he denied him 3 times. Amen. My God, I'm telling you, what if Peter had denied himself right then? Oh, I can't imagine going out to meet God and the final thing that I've done for him and his work and service is to deny him. Amen. My, after all that he's done for me, how can we possibly deny the Lord, ladies and gentlemen? We were sliding down that broad way in the slums of sin and degradation. Oh yes, in misery and woe and heartache and pain. And we had no life to live, but along came the life giver, hallelujah to God, and quickened us by His Holy Ghost, and gave us life, and gave us life everlasting, gave us life eternal, and gave us life that is full of glory. Amen. I've come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. Where is your abundant life this morning? I'm telling you, I believe I could come headlong over this pulpit right in Jacob's lap. Glory to God. I'm telling you, what a God we serve today. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't even know where I'm at in my notes. Don't really care. I've often tried to imagine how Peter felt, thinking he may never see the Lord again until the rapture of the church. Amen. They had been that close. Oh, yes, and Peter knew the Lord was headed to the cross. Amen. I wonder how he felt in his heart, knowing that that may be the last time that he saw the Lord until the rapture of the church. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. But I'm telling you, God was so merciful. Oh, whoo! Hallelujah. May I say to you that His recovery didn't take long to begin. His recovery started immediately, ladies and gentlemen, right there in verse number 72. Now I'm telling you, the best time to get right with God is when we get wrong with God. The longer you wait to get right with God, the harder it's going to be to get right with Him. Brother Peter didn't wait very long. The Bible said when he thought thereon, he wept, hallelujah to God, and knew that he had done wrong. And I'll tell you, God was able to recover him from that fall. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. How would you and I feel if our final service rendered toward the Lord prior to our death was to deny Him? Huh? Come on now. Peter's recovery can only be explained one way. It had to issue forth from God's great love and grace that He has for those that He come to redeem. That is the only explanation. I mean, Peter committed an... You ain't got a hold of it yet, have you? Peter said three times, I don't know Him. And he's getting ready to die, ladies and gentlemen. The man that's getting ready to die is a man that told Peter, go down. And when the first fish you catch, take the coin out of his mouth and go pay her tribute money. Peter is a man, ladies and gentlemen, that went up on the Mount of Transfiguration and saw Him transfigured in all of His glory. All these charismatics and Pentecostals, they claim about, oh, I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, people could just see God like we have and have all these visions like we have in Revelations, they'd be great people of God. That man saw Him transfigured right in His presence, and He glistened as white, my friend, as whiter than snow. And yet Peter went out and denied Him three times. Can you get a hold of that? Amen. Now I'm telling you, if a man can deny the Lord that saw Him raise the dead, heal the sick, be transformed in His very presence, go into the garden and watch Him agonize until His first sweat was as great drops of blood, and then walk knowing that without a doubt He is the Son of God, and yet there's such a fear in His flesh that three times He denies Him, I want to ask you, where does that leave little old peons like you and me today? Amen. Come on in the house. If the apostle had gotten justice instead of grace, he would have surely have been cut off and sentenced to hell long before now. You get a hold of that, if he had got justice, he'd be in hell, ladies and gentlemen. But oh, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. But God, who is rich in mercy, with His great love wherewith He loved us, even while we were sinners, He died for the ungodly. Can you get a hold of that? Peter ought to have been in hell. But I'm telling you, rather than being in hell, grace reached down His omnipotent hand of mercy and lifted him up out of the trap that he had fallen in, and restored him and recovered him and gave him power to preach the gospel on the day of Pentecost. Don't tell me God can't do it for you. Some of y'all sat around here look like warmed over death. God help you. Come to church, bless God, look like your mother-in-law moved in. Ain't folks planning on moving out. I've had some of my son-in-law say, and son to say, well, if you die, mama can live with us. I guarantee it'd be hell on freeze, buddy. They couldn't handle it. Mother-in-laws move in, boys, things change. Amen. Come on in the house. And some of y'all look like you done moved in and set a pup tent up in your bedroom. And she's going to be laying there with her head out the pup tent watching you every single move you make. What's wrong with you, Douglas? God help us come to church like a warmed over death. Somebody said, but you don't understand where I'm at. Look where he was at. I said out in the four Gospels before Paul come on the scene, as far as I'm concerned, he is the greatest. He is the greatest of the apostles. Now, I'm not talking about John the Baptist. He wasn't an apostle. Of men born of woman, there's not a greater than John the Baptist. If John the Baptist wasn't an apostle, he was a prophet. I'm telling you, out of the apostles, not a greater in the four Gospels than this man. Amen. And yet, he denied the Lord three times. Amen. And I tell you, God recovered him from the fall. Amen. And as I said a moment ago, it started immediately. Now, I've only got 2 points. And we'll be out of here before you know it. But I'm telling you, it started immediately. Can I ask you something? Where do you think a fall has to begin? A recovery from a fall has got to begin somewhere. And I'm telling you, there's got to be a beginning point in here for some of you. And some of you know exactly where I'm going. And it's something that's not preached anymore in our Baptist churches. But I'm telling you, on the very first thing here, Peter repented. And I'm talking about immediately when he thought thereon, he wept. And not only wept, he wept bitterly. That tells me that in his heart, before Peter done anything else, he repented of what he had done against God. I'm telling you, some of you in here this morning, you repent. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, how did he repent? The Bible said in Romans chapter 2, what? Know ye not that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Is anybody listening? Hallelujah. Some of you in here have got to repent. It's not preached in many churches today. You don't have to repent. All you got to do is believe. What was Peter supposed to believe after he sinned? But I tell somebody, I said, where's the goodness of God? I'm going to tell you where it's at. When he denied the Lord the third time, then one of the other Gospels that said the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And I'm telling you, his eyes were eyes of love. Amen. And his face was full of mercy. Amen. And his countenance was full of grace. And I'm telling you, the love that flowed from the countenance of our Lord overwhelmed and overcame the heart of Peter. And right there, Johnny, on the spot, Peter's heart was rent asunder and was broken on the inside. And Peter repented of what he done. Some of you in here need to repent. Oh,
began to repent. Somebody said, what does it mean? Turn! From where you are and what you are and what you've done, turn to something else. Somebody, I know the easy believism crowd don't believe repentance means you got to turn. But I'm telling you, I believe it does. The Bible said there in verse 72, the second time the cock crew, Peter called to mind that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. Now note this. Just note it now. Repentance is a change of mind which leads to issues from a changed heart and leads to a changed life. Then people who don't believe in repentance, they leave off the change of life. A change of mind, a change of heart, and a change of mind, if it does not lead to a change of life, come on in the house, all you Catholic friends. It's not repentance, it's penitence. And it's not repentance because they never turned from their sins. I've seen Indians and Mexicans in Tucson, Arizona, at the mission, was it not Guadalupe, what was that mission? Santa Vera. At the Santa Vera mission outside of Tucson, Arizona. I've seen those Indians crawl on their hands and knees, ladies and gentlemen, up from all the way from that church building, whatever you want to call it, Catholic building, on their hands and knees through the cactuses and the rocks, and all's out there is rocks. There's not no soft soil. Up to the top of a hill where three little crosses was and do their little penance. You know what they were doing? They were saying in their mind, Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done. And their heart had convicted them that they had done wrong. But when they come down off of that hill, you know what they done? The next Saturday night, they went out and got drunk. Amen. There was no change of life, ladies and gentlemen. Now I'm telling you, hey, come on in the house. When there's a change of heart and a change of mind, there has got to be a change of life. And Peter's life apparently changed because he stepped out on the day of Pentecost and he said, that Jesus that you have crucified is both Lord and He is Christ. Hallelujah to God. Don't tell me he didn't have a changed life. Better believe he did, friend. Now, I'm telling you, some of you in here need to repent. Now, repentance basically has got three things. Notice in verse number 72, and the second time Peter, the cock crew, Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me twice. And notice, when he thought, people are going, hey, Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him. He thought thereon. And what the problem is with Baptists, we don't want to think about what we've done wrong. Amen. We don't want to think about our sin. But I'm telling you, if you never think about your sin and come to a conclusion in your heart that what you have done is sin against God, you'll never get right with Him. I'm tell you what we want to do. We want to push it aside. Push it aside. Don't want to think on it. Don't want to think about it. Don't want to mention it. Don't want to do nothing about it. You know what those doctors down at Nashville told me? They said as long as you keep thinking on that and pushing it to the side, you will never get victory over it. I said in my heart, I said, praise God. That's exactly what I've been preaching to our people. They have got to look the trouble straight in the eye. Amen to God. You will never get right until you think on it, say it's right, and face your problem face on, then you'll get the victory over. Amen. When he thought thereof. Amen. When he thought thereof. Praise God. Yeah. Made a difference. Amen. Now somebody said, what did he think about? Well, I don't think that I have to only on this. I think I've got Bible for it. I think number one, he thought about his carelessness. Somebody said, "Preacher, how do you get carelessness out of it?" The Lord had already called him. Come on and don't die. I know some of you's trying to leave me. But praise God, I'll get out here where you're at. I told you this was going to be the one. Amen. Come on in the house now. Carelessness. The Lord had already told him, before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me three times. I'm telling you, the first time he said, "I don't know the man," an alarm should have went off in Peter's mind, ladies and gentlemen, that said, "I've already been warned, and what he said is coming to pass, and I better turn now before the problem gets here." And I'm telling you, you can head off a whole lot of your problems if you will take the warning God gives you, and rather than going head on into the problem and the trouble, don't be careless about it. Heed the warning God gives and turn from that thing immediately. What I'm saying? Carelessness. Jesus had already told him, "Peter, you're going to deny me three times.
Amen.
Before the cock crows twice, you're going to do it."
Yes,
and how careless a man can be. You'd have think after the first time he'd have said, "My goodness, this what he said, I just done." You'd have think that after the second time he'd have knew it.
Amen. Right.
But oh, I'm telling you, aren't we so hard-hearted? Aren't we so hard-hearted to believe all the things? Isn't that what Jesus told those two men on the road to Emmaus?
Amen.
Oh, you're so hard-hearted. And it's so difficult for you to believe what the Scripture says about Christ.
Yes.
I'm telling you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, I want to pick up these flyers. Who wants to catch them? I'm going to throw them at somebody. I'm going to come on in the house, ladies and gentlemen. Hide the kids. Get you by them. Hey, Benny's taking shelter over his right now. Amen to God. I'm telling you what this morning. We can take the heart. We can lay it to heart. I mean, lay it in there, boy. What that Bible says, what Jesus has said, is an absolute fact, thank God.
Yes.
I'm glad that all that believe shall be saved, and they that believeth not, and I'm not thankful of this, but they shall be damned, is what the Bible says. And you can take it to heart, that's what it says.
Amen.
You'll either believe and go to heaven, or you'll die in unbelief and be damned and spend your life in hell.
Amen.
I said hell! Where the worm is, where the fire is not quenched, and where the worm doth not. I told him, I said, "Oh, I don't believe that. That's why you're going there."
Amen.
Let the flames of hell cook up around you. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I want you to listen to me. I learned a lesson a long time ago, but I learned it again this weekend. A little fire is good. Too much fire is bad. I lit Freddy, and I'm going to tell you, the right kind of fire, you don't want to get away from it. I backed up to old Fred, and I said, "Ooh, he feels so good." I said, "Man, that fire feels good." But he started getting a little hot, and I said, "Ooh." But it felt so good that I didn't want to get away from it. Now, I'm telling you, that is the fire of God. I'm satisfied God's got two kinds of fires. He'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And I'm telling you, you can back up to a fire. Now, hey, Brother George probably backed up to that wood, and it feels so good, you don't want to get away from it. But it burns so much, you've got to back off a little. But if you back off, dust your britches, you can back up to it and get warm again. But I'm telling you, too much fire will set you on fire. And I'm telling you, God's got two kinds of fires. God has got a holy fire that will set your heart aflame for Christ, that you'll want more and more and more of it. But God's also got a hell fire that will burn you up, ladies and gentlemen, forever and ever in hell. You don't get saved by the grace of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Done lost my glasses again. So he thought about that. He thought about his carelessness. I want to say secondly, he thought about his charge. Somebody said, "What do you mean his charge?" The Bible said in Mark 1:17, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Now there's a man standing by the fire of the devil and with his crown warming his hands. And Jesus said, come after me, Brother Peter, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. Surely you're one of them. I don't know the man. Why, surely you're one of them. I said, I don't know the man. Why, you're a Galilean and your speech be rapid. Surely you're the man. Blankety, 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 blank, I don't know him. And immediately Peter said, great day in the morning. He's already charged me that I'm going to become fishers of men. And here I am denying him to men. How can we catch men for Christ if we deny the Christ that died for them? How can we see sinners saved if we live in denial of the God that died for them? Son, I've got a charge. He said, you go to a land, the country that I'll show you. And I'll bless you there. And praise God, I'm in that land. And there ain't a devil going to run me out. I've done anchored in grace. Amen. Thank you. Somebody said, I wish you'd leave. I know you do, you devil. Praise God, but I ain't leaving. I ain't going nowhere. I'm in the land God called me to, and I ain't about to go anywhere. As long as I got power to preach like I'm preaching today, I ain't going nowhere. I've got a charge. I've got a charge, ladies and gentlemen, from him to go to the country and preach the gospel. And that's what I'm doing. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Now, wouldn't it be something if I folded my Bible after being with you 18 years and telling you that Christ died for you and loves you and God's got a heart bigger in this world, and take my Bible and fold my Bible and say, well, there ain't no God, there ain't no Jesus, the story's not real. I quit! What would you think? That's what Peter did. Do you think men can recover from the fall? You see, ladies and gentlemen, I'm trying not to give people space to sin. But I'm telling you, we have brought it down to the fact anymore that you can't even bat your eyes crossways and be saved. And there's a man that was saved and denied God three times. And he writes in the book that he wrote that we were eyewitnesses of the majesty of the glory of God. Yet he denied the Lord three times. You reckon he thought, when he thought thereon, wonder what he was thinking. I think he thought about his carelessness. I think he thought about the charge that God gave him. Now I'm going to tell you something else. I think he thought about the consequences. Some of you in here better think about the consequences. Now, I don't know this. I don't know this, but I want you to get a hold of what I'm saying. And don't tell me people don't doubt, buddy. I know better. But I wonder when that cock crew that last time and Peter denied the Lord and he thought thereon, and I don't know that he knew this, but I wonder if he thought about Judas and said, oh, Judas denied him and burst asunder, and he's in the pit of hell right now. I'm telling you, you better think on that, because I do believe there are those that have professed and don't profess, don't possess, and they'll deny the Lord and die and go to hell. I'm telling you, you've got to be born again. It's more than just saying I go to church. There's more to it than just sitting in the church, sleeping while the preacher's trying to preach. There's more to it, ladies and gentlemen. It is a change of life. And I'm sure that Peter thought about the consequence of denying God. Now, what about you and I? What about the consequence for you and I?
Amen.
I wonder what little Trevor would think. If Brother Troy and Miss Jennifer just quit. Wonder if he'd come up to him and say, "Daddy, why don't we ever go down there where all them little kids is at anymore that I used to play with? Why don't we ever go down there and see Brother Hall anymore? I wonder what your kids would think. But what about these bigger kids, these teenagers? Mommy? Daddy? What did you go to church all them years for and then deny the Lord? And now you tell me that it's not worth it. I'm telling you, you better look at the consequence. And when you look, think. And when you think, repent. I'm talking about today. If God has pricked your mind, repent. If God has pricked your heart, repent. There is a consequence, ladies and gentlemen, to deny the Lord. But, after three times they deny the Lord, I'm telling you, God showed grace and mercy. And God showed favor and love. And God recovered old Peter from the fall. And he stepped out proudly, ladies and gentlemen, on the day of Pentecost. 53 days later. 53 days later after he denied the Lord. He stood out on the day of Pentecost. With no guilt.
Right.
Somebody said, "How you know?" Because real repentance removes guilt.
Amen.
He stepped out on the day of Pentecost with no condemnation. Oh, Brother Hall, I'm so condemned over what I've done, I could never get right. You ever deny God three times when he's getting ready to die? Peter stepped out 53 days later with no guilt, with no condemnation, and preached.
Amen.
With power. And turn sinners to righteousness.
Amen.
And souls that are set in darkness to light.
Amen.
And people that are set in death to eternal life, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I'm telling you, God is able to recover a sinner from the fall. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
And so there's the thought. Hallelujah. On this side again. All right, I'm getting good. Leave them on the same side. Now, listen carefully. The consequence of his sorrow, the Bible said he wept. Maybe I'm in the wrong thing here. Yeah, he thought. That's the first thing about his repentance. He thought, and then his sorrow. He wept with a godly sorrow. That worketh repentance. The salvation not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death.
Amen.
I wonder what sorrow did he have to repent from? May I say, grieving the spirit? Come on, somebody said, "Come on, Brother Hall." Wonder how many in here today, and I know what time it is, praise God. I wonder how many in here today is grieving the Holy Ghost because of your sorrow. My Bible tells me in Ephesians 4:30, "And grieve not the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption." I'm telling you, there was sorrow, ladies and gentlemen, there because Peter had grieved the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, any time that we deny the Lord or any time we fall into that snare and refuse to get out of it, we are grieving the Holy Ghost. No wonder nobody could help Sister Woodard this morning. The Holy Ghost is so cowed down and grieved in here that nobody else could get a shout out of their mouth. Some of you people come in here and bless God and look like you're going to die today and go to hell on top of that. Praise God. Are you saved? Oh, Brother Hall had a bad day today. Peter had a bad day too. And it broke his heart because he was grieving God. Does it not trouble some of you in here that come in with your lip pooched out, your face look like warmed over death, that you are grieving the Holy Ghost of God, and where he is grieved, he cannot work?
Amen.
Well, I said, well, just one or two people, one person is all it takes.
Amen.
And some of you here really don't want to be here. You'd rather be somewhere else, doing something else. And God knows your heart, and that grieves God. That sorrow, he grieved the Spirit of God. He might have thought about the guilt of his sin. His sin was unexcusable, yet he found forgiveness. He may have thought about the grace that he had secured. Somebody said, what do you mean, preacher? All the times in the past, the Lord had shown Peter grace.
Amen.
Every time Peter sinned against God, put that foot in the mouth, God had shown him grace. But he's standing there thinking, now I've done this sin, and he's dead! He will not be around tomorrow to show me that same favor. And I'm here to tell you one thing. You better listen to what I'm telling you. God loves you, but if God is dealing with your heart today, he may not be around tomorrow to show you that favor. Today is a day of salvation. Now is accepted time. And now is the right time for saints to get right with God as well. So he sorrowed about the grieving the Spirit and the guilt of his sin. The grace he secured. And I'm telling you, there's another thing. That's the second point to repentance. Number one is thought. Number two is sorrow. And number three is action.
Amen.
Repentance includes all the elements, not merely the first two. I said earlier, the first two are only penitence. It must, action must be taken. When the prodigal son was down in that hog pen, that hog come up. Hello, Mr. Hog, how you doing? And they go, I'm going to eat with you today. That's not very good stuff, but it's all I got. And the Bible said when he came to himself,
Amen.
He said, you know something? My father's servants, the servants, has got more to eat and better living than what I've got down here. But I'm not going to bother. That don't bother me. I'm going to keep on eating with the hogs. You think he kept on? When he said, my father's servants have got better things up there to eat, just a servant. And here I am down here eating with the hogs. When he thought about that, he didn't stick his nose back down the trough. He said, praise God, I'm going to daddy's house. I am going to the father's house. Amen to God. Get up there, Doug. You're the father, buddy, on this round.
Yeah.
Going to the father's house. Boy, I thought on these things. Praise God. I'm going to put my sorrow. I'm going to put my thought, my sorrow in action. Can you catch me, Brother Doug? Hallelujah to God. Woo! That, ladies and gentlemen, is repentance. That's repentance. You've done a good job, don't you? Saw me a long way off, didn't you?
Amen.
See, that prodigal didn't stay down there.
Amen.
He got out of the hog pen.
Amen.
Turned loose of the drugs, rock music,
Amen.
The world,
Amen.
Cigarettes, dope,
Amen.
Amen. Marijuana, great. Dope, cocaine, dope. Crack dope, meth dope, all other kinds of street drug dope.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. And he took action.
Amen.
Now, what did he do? What did Peter do when he took action? Number one, he stayed with the right crowd.
Amen.
Bible said in John 20, verses 1 and 2, the first day of the week, cometh Mary Magdalene early, and it was yet dark under the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher, then she runneth and cometh to John.
Amen.
3 days after Peter had denied her. That verse does not say that she ran to John. She ran to Simon Peter.
That's right.
Woo! Somewhere in those 3 days, I'm telling you, Mary Magdalene said, there's an old boy that got right with God. Praise God, I'm telling you, he is right with God and on fire. And that's the man. Praise God. I will see you. And she ran up to Simon, knowing that Simon said, Simon, he's alive.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes, amen.
Now, I don't have time to go into this because I'm going to preach it on another message. But Jesus went to Simon Peter alone, ladies and gentlemen, because it said in John 21, and it says, and Peter and Simon has seen him. Praise God. Praise God. Let me have a spell. Glory to God. I'm telling you, there is a servant of God that had denied him, and yet Jesus spent private time, alone time, and private time with him. Ladies and gentlemen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. But he stayed with the right crowd. When Mary Magdalene seen that the stone was rolled away, she went to Simon Peter. That tells me that he was with her crowd. I won't say secondly. After that, he served in a greater capacity. He became their main spokesman for the first 12 chapters of the book of Acts. Peter was the main spokesman. And he preached on the day of Pentecost. And he preached to the Sanhedrin. And he was thrown in prison and brought out. I'm telling you, he was a main man. Amen. As Brother Ricky would say, he's a kingpin.
Amen.
He's a kingpin. And this is a man that had done everything imaginable wrong. And yet he's the man that God used. Somebody said, "Preacher, I've done everything wrong." Good. Praise God. You're the person I'm looking for. You are the one I am seeking out. Somebody said, "You're nuts." I know I'm screwed on the right bolt. Final point, not only his repentance, but his reminder. The morning of the resurrection. When those women have been to the resurrection and the stones rolled away, get this now. Mary Magdalene and Mary has been there and the stones rolled away. And in Mark 16:7, the Bible said, the angel of the Lord saw them and said, "But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter."
Amen.
Wonder why he signaled out Peter, singled out Peter alone.
Right.
Well, Peter denied you, Lord. Why do you want me to tell him? You go tell Peter.
Amen.
Why? Peter was always taking his foot in his mouth. Lord, you go tell Peter. Well, Lord, Peter's the one that tried to walk on the water and didn't even have enough faith to walk on the water. Yeah, but you're the one that didn't get out of the boat.
Amen.
Go tell Peter.
That's right.
That I goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him as he said unto you. In other words, he said, "You go tell the disciples, tell Peter, I'm going to Galilee, and you can see me if you come over there." Now, Peter never dreamed he'd see him again. Some of you in here have got the idea in your mind that you've got so far away from God that you'll never see Jesus again like you've seen him before. Cheer up, weary pilgrim. He can recover you from the fall.
Amen.
What do you think he wanted to tell Peter? He said, "You make sure you tell Peter I'm there." That little old verse tells me that the Lord still loved Peter.
Amen.
Peter said, "Praise God, he wants to see me. He's not mad at me."
Woo!
Amen. He's not mad at me. He wants to see me. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
He still loves me.
Amen.
It tells me the Lord was still going to lead him. He said, "Tell them to come on to Galilee where I'll already be there." Peter said, "Praise God, he still wants me to follow him and become a fisher of men." I'm going to Galilee, boys. I see. I don't know what you guys are doing, but I'm going to Galilee.
Amen.
I want to see that man from Galilee.
Amen.
I'm going to see that man from... Where's the running room at? I'm going to see the man from Galilee.
Amen.
That man whose feet have tread upon the sands of the shores of Galilee and down the cobblestone streets of Jerusalem and walked upon the waters of the sea. That man whose hand was nailed to the cross and his feet likewise, That man that was crowned with thorns, that man that was scourged and beaten, that man that was spit upon, that man that was crucified and went to a grave and got up, that's the man I'm going to say hallelujah to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo!
Some of them said the other day, said, preacher, said, you put some pretty big goobers down along the side of Megan. Said, you never have got her yet, but said, she's been a dodging you. I'm going to see him. Peter said, I'm going to see that man. That man I denied, I'm going to see him. And I'll tell you, those words give Peter great assurance. Great assurance.
Yeah, man.
That he would once again see his Lord.
Amen.
The fact that his Lord still loved him.
Amen.
What a great God. Wonder if there's any in here today. Anybody in here today? As we stand with heads bowed and eyes closed.
Yeah,
I wonder if there's anybody in here today. Say, Brother Hall. I've been caught in that trap. I'm not where I ought to be, preacher. I'm not what I ought to be, preacher. I'm not where I ought to be and not what I ought to be. But if God got old Peter right, God will get me right. I know He will, Lord. I know He will, Brother Hall. And I'm going to come to Him while these are praying. Heavenly Father, thank You for the morning now. Thank You for the divine help. I pray You'll bless. Lord, in the invitation, change hearts, Lord. Work on rebellious hearts and souls today. Break hearts, I pray, Father, with Your great love. Don't chasten, Lord, and chastise, but love and judge righteous judgment. And love Your people and deliver according to the Word of God. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. What can we sing, Brother George?